wanting to do a miracle for you this morning, would you be in a position to receive it? You hear what I'm saying this morning? Because here's the thing, and I struggle with in talking with people. Sometimes God wants to do something in our lives, and He's got to run us down to do it. He wants to speak to you through the message, but that's the Sunday that you just needed to sleep in. He wants to speak to you through a ministry of helping someone during the week, but you didn't have time. He wants to minister to you by a phone call, but you didn't get the phone call. Do you see where I'm going with this? God, we've got to get ourselves in a position to receive what God has for us. See, I come with a heart of expectation every Sunday. Every Sunday, because I want to see what God wants to do, and not only in my life, but in the life of the church and in your life. I'm encouraged by the testimonies. I'm encouraged by even the challenges, because once you're on the other side of those challenges, then it turns into a great blessing and turns into a great victory for not only you, but for the Lord also. So I want to this morning look at 2 Kings and look at Naaman. But keep in mind as we look at this and as we read this scripture, some will know the story, some it may be new, but keep in mind that Naaman had to be in a position to receive what he was getting. He had to be willing to get out of that box. And I know that's not new for us here. I'm constantly saying that we need to get out of the box. And we are. Some of the things that we're seeing now is because we're getting out of the box. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 16. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robe? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them, be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do great things, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all the attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Nahum urged him, he refused. Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture, I pray that we would apply the principles here and see the light that you're trying to show us. I pray that we would all be ready and put ourselves in the position to receive from you what you want to give us. Lord God, that our faith would be out in front of us. That, Lord God, that we would allow ourselves to be humbled enough to realize that without you we can't receive these things. Lord God, I ask that you just would speak this to each one of our hearts in our own special way by putting your anointing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I look at this. I look at this portion of Scripture and I think this. Everyone likes a happy ending, don't they? I mean, isn't that it? You know, you see a story, you want to see a happy ending. You have something happen in your life, you want to see a happy ending. Everybody likes the stories where the guy gets the gal or the gal gets the guy. Because we really want that in our lives. We love when justice prevails over wickedness. And we love the fact that it's encouraging to hear about a miracle. The problem is, if you're just hearing about somebody else's and you never put yourself in a position for God to do something special for you, you're probably going to miss it. And I think of so many people today that spend their whole lives that God wants to do something, and they're spending more time looking at what God's doing for someone else and being upset rather than putting themselves in a position to receive the miracle. And it goes back to what I was saying before. What if God wanted to tell you something the Sunday that you decide to stay home? What if God wanted to use that neighbor to speak a word of truth to you and you weren't willing to take the time to see that person? Do you see where I'm going with this? We want a miracle. But sometimes we're our own worst enemy of why we don't receive some of the things that God wants. See, so the question is, do we want to see God do something out of the ordinary, extraordinary in our lives? But really the question is, do we put ourselves in a position to receive that miracle? And do we put ourselves in the position to see someone else get a miracle? Do we allow God to use us? Do we allow these things to manifest themselves? See, there's four characters in this portion of Scripture that you're looking here. There's Naaman that needed the miracle. There's the slave girl that's involved here. And there's Elijah the prophet. And there's God. Not necessarily in that order. You see, there's four ingredients here. Naaman, who needed it. You know, these were the people that were involved in Naaman's miracle. The story goes on, and we're not going to discuss it today, but it goes on, and Elijah, the prophet's servant, Gehazi, goes and starts to get greedy, and he ends up with leprosy and as a punishment. You know, that's another day. But where we stopped and where we look at this, you know, Naaman has a problem. Naaman needs a miracle. He's this powerful soldier that just feels like he has no need of anybody else because he's self-sufficient. He's successful. He's got the king's favor. But the problem that he has, he can't fix. He has leprosy. He can't fix it. You can't go to the medicine chest to get that. You can't just go and you know, put some cream on it. It's not going to work. This was a thing. He was going to die if God didn't get involved. And it was going to be a painful death if God didn't get involved in it. So he begins to see these things unfold. And we got paper problems here. See, here's the thing. Naaman needs a miracle. We all see that. We all know that. But here's the thing that we miss. God specializes in miracles. God specializes in it. He desires to work in people. people's life. And here's the thing. You know, God's miracles will happen after we admit that we have a problem. Amen. Did you get that? No problem, no miracle. You don't admit to God that you have a problem. You tie His hands. And how can He work? Hey, everything's fine. I'm in no need. And God's miracles happen after we're willing to do something about it. Now you'll have to catch that in just a few minutes. There comes a point. It's kind of like I said before. God wants us to pray, but at some point we got to put feet to it. At some point we need to hear what God is saying. And we need to go to that next level. We need to put ourselves in a position that God is allowing us to receive the miracle. The thing with Naaman is his past had nothing to do. I want you to know some people live on old miracles. They live on old miracles. God did something in the 70s or in the 80s and they keep reliving it, the good old days. Well, I tell you what, some of the good old days aren't so good. And they keep living this old miracle, like God's only got one. And that you know, He gave you one, so you're never going to get another one. God did something special for you, so that means, boy, He's got a lot of people in the world, so that means your name's not going to come up again. And we put ourselves in this position. So and Naaman's realizing that the success that he has is right now doesn't mean anything to him. He knows that the problem is bigger than he is. And he knows that if God doesn't get involved, he's going to die. And dying is one thing. Dying a painful death, like leprosy, would be another. You know, so let me lay this out. Naaman's this good soldier. He's this successful soldier. He's got favor with the king. He captures and gets this slave girl. And it's amazing because he obtains this slave girl from Israel. God doesn't give her name in this. And she goes and serves Naaman's wife. God doesn't give a name to her. And you see, because God wants you to see the important parts of it, it's not the slave girl. It's her being obedient and putting Naaman in a position to receive the miracle. And she goes to Naaman's wife and says something profound. Now you got to understand, he conquered Israel. He took this girl as a slave. And this girl, the slave girl, says this to the mistress, to Naaman's wife. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would be cured of this leprosy. Now that's a change of attitude right there, folks. If you were taken over as a slave, would you have that kind of love for the very person that took you over? But she's saying, look, if my master would just realize that there is a prophet in Israel that could cure his leprosy. And Naaman hears this. And he goes and he takes that information and he goes to the king. And the king pours out a blessing to him and says, go. What do you have to lose? I will give you these gifts and I will give you a letter to take along with you. And the one commentary that I was looking at said that the gifts amounted to about $1 million in gifts that this king gave to Naaman to take to the king of Israel along with this letter. Now it gets good. He loads him up with these gifts. He gives him this letter. The king of Israel receives this letter. And instead of being honored and grateful, he's upset and mad and angry and intimidated, and he thinks that this king is actually picking a fight with the nation of Israel again. The prophet Elijah hears what's going on, and he goes back to his king, and he says, listen, tell him to come. Tell him to come and for him to realize that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman comes to the prophet Elijah and a messenger comes out Now this is going to be good, because you can just start to think about what's going on. Elijah, with all his expectation of what should go on, he shows up at Elijah the prophet's house, and a messenger comes out, and all the messenger tells him is, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Amen. Now, Naaman is angry, because this prophet couldn't even come out of the house. Anybody been there? And anybody had expectations of what should have happened, coulda, shoulda, woulda, and all of a sudden it doesn't go that way, and you get angry, you get intimidated, you get defensive. He's expecting to be cured instantly, and he's faced with the decision. And I want you to know, each one of us, as we pursue God, asking God to do something special in our lives, each one of us is faced with this same decision. And it's really simple. Are you going to do what God asked you to do, even if it don't make sense?
Amen.
That's the bottom line. Because I want you to know, God doesn't usually do miracles where you can figure them out. Because then it's not Him doing it. Then you could take the bow and say, well, I did this. I put myself in this position, you know, by doing this, this, and this. But are you willing and are you wanting to go and do what God tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense? See, a miracle, usually, I won't say always, but usually follows obedience.
Amen.
God requires us to do exactly what He says, not partial, not roughly, and not to do, you know, what we agree with. And that's usually what we do. See, so what was the number one reason that Naaman was in trouble, and the number one reason that was going to keep him from receiving this miracle? Pride. Pride was going to keep him. The Word of God tells us pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. He was successful. He was independent. He didn't need others, because he had others that were at his beck and call. He was powerful. Now he was up against something bigger than himself. And he had to admit to God that he needed help. He was desperate. You know what? That's a great position for God to do a miracle. Desperate. Wanting. And you know, this man was desperate, and he listened to the slave girl. He sought out the prophet to cure him of this leprosy. Now, I want you to know something. This was an enormous step for a soldier to listen to a slave girl. You can only understand that you know, this was not cool. He had to have really thought that this message had come from God. That one, he was going to listen to a woman. Being a slave girl was even worse. And the other part is, he conquered the country of Israel, took this girl, and now he was going back into that country and talked to a prophet to be able to be healed. He travels to the prophet's house only to have this messenger come out and just drop this on, hey, go wash 7 times. And you're going to be cleansed and you're going to be healed. He was angry. Now let me word that different. He was ticked. He might have been livid. He might have been out of control. As you look and you think about, you know, his expectation versus what God was trying to do. You know, that to me would have been humility, humble pie, eating crow, all rolled up into one experience. Go to the Jordan, this dirty, muddy river in Israel, and dip 7 times. And he's sitting there thinking, I could have stayed home for this. Why did I load up all my horses and chariots and bring all these special gifts to this prophet, only to be told to go in this muddy, dirty river and that I would be cleansed? Here's the problem. You can write this down. This is the problem. Naaman's expectations of how God was going to line up this miracle didn't line up with his. That's the problem. He said, God, this is how I expect you to do it. And God says, no way. God, this is how I want to help you make this miracle happen. God says, no way. But God, you don't understand. And God says, no, you don't understand. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And you're not going to be able to figure this out. Your responsibility is just to be obedient. Your responsibility is just to do as you're told. He expected, verse 11, it starts out, you can understand. He expected. He starts out by saying, I thought. Well, that usually gets us in trouble when we're starting to think about the things of God. You know, we approach God and we thought, I thought. And God says, well, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So don't begin a sentence, I thought. It ought to be, I will do. I will be obedient. But he says, verse 11, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Did you catch that? He thought, calling upon the name of what? His God. He didn't even have enough faith to believe that, to make it his God. And wave his hand over the spot. I love that. He was thinking that this was going to be a magical thing that the prophet does rather than the power of God operating in connection to his obedience. We make God smile sometimes. I think sometimes he just goes, that guy, that gal did not get it. They're not putting themselves in a position. I desire to heal them, but they're not ready to receive it. And so that, you know, anytime that you're going to approach God and tell him how he needs to do something, And then say, well, I thought that you could just wave your hand over the spot. Or I thought you could just wave your hand over the situation. Or I just thought that maybe you could drop some money in my wallet. Or I just thought that something was going to disappear. Or I just thought this relationship was going to get better without me working on it. And God goes, you ought to quit thinking. You ought to quit thinking and do more praying. You ought to do more lining up with where I need you. And here's the thing. Bear with me just a minute here. Our expectations don't line up with reality. Now hear me for a second and that you don't think that I'm off in a rant rave, because I will come back. There's a survey. A research survey that's out that say the four hardest jobs in America are this: a president of the United States, a university president, a CEO of a hospital, and fourth, a pastor. Now, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I do know this. Most people don't know what a pastor does. And most people don't know what a pastor goes through in a course of a week. They have this idea, and I've heard it. They have this idea of this dream job, because you get to work with people. You're praying with them. You're counseling them. You get to marry them. You get to bury them. You get to be a part of their lives. You get to teach them. And I want you to know that this is the hardest job that I know, because I'm praying with people, because I'm counseling with people, because I marry them and bury them, because I teach people that sometimes don't want to be taught.
That's for sure.
Hear me out. Sometimes they're not happy with what I have to tell them. Sometimes I hear of the very people that I've married are now getting divorced. Sometimes, right at the prime, they're being buried. Survey also went on to say that 90% of pastors say ministry is completely different than what they were taught in college.
Amen.
70%, I've got a minister yelling there, 70% have a lower self-esteem of themselves because of people.
And they don't see the phone calls at all hours of the day and night and don't realize that 24/7 with unique challenges is what we go through. Now, I say all of this to say this. I love being a pastor. Don't get me wrong. I love being a pastor. But it's not for the weak. Wimps don't cut it. And I have not just fallen off the pastor truck. I have learned to watch out for criticism that destroys, to not take rejections personal, and dealt with betrayal, loneliness, weariness, frustration, and disappointment. Now here's where I pull this into you guys, and it applies to each one of you. And I have learned that if I'm calling on God to do a miracle, now hear me, if I'm calling on God to do a miracle, I am not going to limit Him in the way that He does it.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's what gets us in trouble.
Right.
All of our jobs at times are hard. All of us go through things that we don't want to go through. But what I'm saying is as you're going through, toughen your skin up. As you're going through, depend on God to do it. And I've learned that if I'm calling on God to do a miracle, something that I can't do in myself, something that I have no answers for, I am not going to allow pride to get in front of it and in front of me enough that I am going to limit how God is going to do it. I'm just going to give it to Him and ask Him to work on it on my behalf. Naaman wanted God to do a miracle instantly. And God was saying, Naaman, I want to see what you're made out of. How bad do you want this?
Amen.
And then I look at another part and I say, thank God for people around us that when we struggle and we're waiting for God to do something amazing. Thank God for people. I say it all the time and I'll say it again. I thank God for my board that I had last year. I'm sure my board this year. I need people around me. We all need people around us that when we struggle, when we have those moments and we struggle and are waiting for God to do something amazing, these are the ones that are holding our hands up. These are the ones that are helping us through that. You know, I love this. Verse 13, Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored. Do you realize that if it wasn't for his servants telling him, hey, I know this sounds crazy, but if he would have told you to do something really hard, wouldn't you have done it for the fact that you want to see an end result? Thank God for somebody that says, look,
yes.
Get with the program. Thank God that for someone that's just going to give you a shoulder to cry on. Thank God for someone sometimes that have to say the tough things. I don't like telling people that what they're doing is wrong and they need to stop. I don't like telling people things that I know would hurt. But listen, we all need each other. And we all need to hold each other up. And the way you say it, how you say it, means effective. Because at the end result, even if I'm saying something hard to someone, I want them to know and understand that I love them. It's not that I get any enjoyment out of coming against them in a way or breaking their balloons or hurting their party. But I understand that thank God for someone that gets around us when we're struggling and is honest enough with us to help us through those times and get us turned around and that we can receive what God wants to have us receive. That servant turned him around. He went to the Jordan and he dipped. Now listen to me. Not dipping in the Jordan, what would have happened? No miracle. What if he went 3 times? No miracle. What if he went 6 times? We're close. No miracle. 7 times, according to the commercial, priceless. God gets involved. God says 7 times, he means 7 times. And you're not going to see the miracle until you're obedient. He's the same God that told Joshua and the Israelites to circle around the walls of Jericho. It didn't make sense. Go once and stop. 6 days of going once and stop. And on the seventh day, go around seven times. And on the seventh time, he said, shout. And the walls come down. Naaman was angry because he could not see how this old dirty water of the Jordan was going to cleanse him of this leprosy. Here's the thing he didn't realize until he got in the water. It's not about the water. It's not about the power of the prophet. It's not about anything except the power of God and being obedient and putting yourself in a position where God's going to do what he needs to do. Naaman was doing what he expected. And God's telling him, look for the unexpected. You want to see a miracle? Look for the unexpected. We're seeing things in this church because of the unexpected. Things that we've been praying about. And God turns it around and says, I'm ready to do this for you because you're ready to receive it. Look for the unexpected. God performs miracles His way, not our ways. God works miracles on His agenda, not our agenda. God works miracles so that we can't take credit for it. When you start taking a bow, you are in trouble. The second thing that we see there is Naaman had to be open for change. And I love this verse, and lately I've been saying it a lot during the sermons. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. You want to see a miracle? That's what has to happen. The old has to go, and the new comes. See, God likes change. We hate it. But God likes it. God likes to shake things up. And God's not intimidated when we struggle with change. He just says, I got to get you there. I just got to get you where you need to take. And I'm closing here. It takes humility to admit to God that you have a problem. But that is the first step. Admit that you have a problem. God can't work a miracle if you're in denial and saying that you don't, I got no problems. I can do this. And God says, okay, come back when you can't do it. That puts us in this position to receive. See, the good news is this. God does miracles for imperfect people. Hallelujah. God does miracles for imperfect people. And God uses imperfect people to accomplish His task. Which means, I should have talked about everybody in that 2 seconds. Either you're the imperfect people that God wants to do a miracle with, or God will use you to accomplish something in somebody else's life. But God wants to heal each and every one of us some of the things that are very much were going on with Naaman's life there. Unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, strife, envy, rebellion, jealousy, pride. See, here's the thing. You can't look at this portion of Scripture without seeing it. Leprosy kills the body, but pride will kill the soul. Amen. Leprosy will kill this body, but God is more concerned about pride killing your soul. And isn't it funny? And I'm closing for the second time. Isn't it funny when we get ourselves into serious problems? That's when we stop talking to God. You hear me? We get in this problem and we can't handle it and we stop talking to God about it. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. But when Naaman was obedient, he was in a position to receive what God had for him. God requires that we be obedient.